So good to be here. I enjoy Independent Baptist Church. Everybody except Brother Wright. Amen. He's the only one I don't enjoy, but I put up with him. Amen. No, I'm teasing. I love this church. You have been so good to me. You have stood with me and by me over the years. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you. We brought some teens with us. They're going to be going to the teen camp. Maybe you can do something with them. Amen. I can't seem to make any headway. So, anyway, no, they're looking forward to it, and I'm glad to have them here. Preacher, I got to tell you, you're very far-sighted in the fact that you said 3 months on that bathroom. If you've ever done a building project, you understand that. We've been working on our building project there in White Horse for 3 years now. And I told my wife when we started the house side of it, I said, listen, we're going to start this in May. Probably before snow flies, we will have it enclosed. And by next spring, we'll be in it. Okay? That was 2 years ago. And we're still not in. Amen? So the best laid plans of mice and men don't always work. We were going to move in about 3 weeks. Amen. The good thing is, amen, that we're almost there. Amen. And listen, let me tell you, it is worth the wait. I promise you. And it's exciting. It's been exciting for 3 years. Amen. But we're getting there. We're getting there. Amen. All right. That just kind of leads into my message tonight. I forgot something. Miss Kaiser, would you bring me that? I just got excited about preaching and I forgot this. I'm going to need this before the day's over. You're looking at me like, what in the world? Well, if you sit on the front row underneath my preaching, you'll understand why you need an umbrella. Amen. But in any case, I wanted to say thank you to the church and how much I appreciate you. There were some of the men from the church here that came over and helped us on the building, and I appreciate the work in that. Everything has just been super, and I especially appreciate Independent Baptist Church. I appreciate your pastor. I appreciate everything that's gone on here. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of your missionary family. Amen. All right, take your Bibles and open, if you will, to the book of Job this evening. The book of Job. I want to go to chapter number 1. I saw an advertisement once for an insurance company. And the advertisement was for Travelers Insurance. Anybody ever seen that television ad, Travelers Insurance? Travelers Insurance ad, their commercial advertises that when you have their insurance, you are under the umbrella, how do you operate this thing, of their protection. I know you're not supposed to do that in a building, but I don't believe in luck. Amen. So you're under the umbrella of their protection. Okay? When you get saved, you get under the umbrella of God's protection. Okay? God promised that He would take care of you if you were His child. Okay? He promised that as His child, you'd be taken care of. But I want to look at this fellow named Job tonight. Job, chapter number 1, and I want to begin at verse number 6. Job, chapter 1, and verse number 6. And I'd like to ask you, if you would, to stand with me. I know that's not normally the case, but I would like to ask you to stand with me by way of reverence, number 1, to God's Word, and number 2, you may not ever get to stand up again for a long time. So I want to make sure you get a chance to stretch your legs before we start. Preacher told me the microphone in here was good for 2 hours. Amen. But he also told me when the services were over and turned the lights out when I left. Okay? So I'd just be preaching to an empty room. But at any rate, I want to look at chapter 1 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that escheweth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath. He will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thine power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, God, we come before your throne tonight. Father, I pray first of all that you'd still my heart. Father, I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. God, that you would use me tonight. God, these people don't want to hear from me. God, they want to hear from you tonight. Please, take over the service. Take over the preaching. Take over everything that's done. Get glory and honor from it. We'll praise you for it all now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. At salvation, God makes you his child. And as his child, he puts you under his protection. There's no parent in here that wouldn't protect their child. I mean, your child is something special to you. You would do everything in your power to protect your child. When you got saved, you became God's child. Gentlemen, when you got married, you took a wife under your umbrella, if you will. And she is for you to protect. And now I know you don't do this, but I do, okay? My wife is afraid she's going to get her hair wet when it rains, okay? So this is her umbrella, not mine, all right? But I keep it on my side of the vehicle. So that whenever it rains, I get out and walk over there, and I open the thing up, and I always have to figure out how it works. I open the thing up, and I hold it over the door, and I open the door and let her, you say, well, I do that too. Well, I understand. But if she's been giving me a hard time, I put the umbrella over here and open the door. Do you ever do that? No. No, come on now. You don't do anything at all to antagonize your wives, gentlemen. I mean, and when she gets out sometimes, I've got the umbrella right here, and she's right here beside me, I'll hold it this way. So that I'm getting protected, and she reaches over and grabs my hand and says, put it in the other hand. Okay? The umbrella is a pretty important thing for her, so that her hair doesn't get wet. Amen? And sometimes, when I'm really in a bad way, I do things to antagonize her. Sometimes I do it for fun, sometimes I do it because I'm mad at her. Amen? Now, I know I'm not the only one that does that stuff. Don't look at me like that, guys. Ladies, does your husband ever do stuff like that to you? You're not going to admit it either, are you? All right. No, the thing is, it doesn't mean that I don't love her. Okay? I still love her. Most of the time, it's in fun. But the truth of the matter is, unless the umbrella is over her head, she's not getting protected. She's not being protected. Let me say this about God, okay? God does not leave you unprotected ever. He puts the umbrella over your head. Well, what is this deal with Job then? Why is Job getting all these bad things that happened? Satan went to God and said, listen, let me have him. And the Bible tells us in the remaining chapter, it goes on in verse 13, it says, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said that the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword, and I am escaped to tell thee. He lost all of his oxen, all of his asses. You read further on, he lost all of his sheep, he lost all of his wheat, he lost all of his grain. The wind blew the house down where his sons and daughters were. He lost all of his family. Everything was lost. The only thing he had left was his wife and his health. And you say, that's God's protection? That's God's umbrella? Thank you, I'm not interested in that umbrella. Let me say something here. God does not remove the umbrella. Sometimes the umbrella just gets leaned off to the side. Sometimes God leans it. Now it's not going to work. Leans it off to the side a little bit. When you lean an umbrella off to the side, the rain still gets you. It's off to the side. You're not really under the umbrella. Sometimes when my wife and I are walking, I've got the umbrella. She'll hold onto my arm. She puts her arm in my arm, and I hold the umbrella this way so that it protects her. And she's walking on this side. If she doesn't hold onto my arm and stay close to me, then she's going to get wet. Sometimes the umbrella is not being tilted. Sometimes it's just that you've moved out from under the umbrella. I'm telling you all of this to tell you, sometimes God lets the umbrella, though, get tilted. Sometimes he lets it get moved out of the way. And I'm asking, why? Why does that happen? And when it does happen, how do you react to it? You know, I've got a lot of friends in the ministry. Some of them are not Baptist, okay? Some of them are charismatic. Now, when I say friends in the ministry, please understand, we doctrinally, vehemently disagree, okay? And I would never attend their church, and they would never attend ours. But we are friendly. Maybe that's the way I should put it. We are acquaintances in the ministry. And they're of a charismatic Pentecostal persuasion. I am not. But their persuasion is that if you are right with God, you will have perfect health. Can I tell you that's not true? They say if you are right with God, your finances will be in perfect condition. Can I tell you that's not always true? Why not, Brother Larry? Sometimes God leans the umbrella a little bit away and lets a little liquid sunshine, if you will, in your life. Sometimes things get stressful. If you're going to serve God, if you think it's going to always be a bed of roses, you are sadly mistaken. Why is that? Well, before you got saved, Satan was not your enemy. He was your friend. Once you got saved, Satan became your absolute enemy. He hates everything about you. Now, before you got saved, God was not your enemy. He was your friend. After you got saved, God is still your friend. What happened is when you got saved, you got an enemy named Satan that you didn't have before. And he attacks you on every hand. Well, doesn't God stop that? He didn't stop it for Job. He tilted the umbrella. He moved the umbrella a little bit away. Sometimes in your life, God is going to move an umbrella. It's not going to be a bed of roses the entire time you serve God. If that's what you're expecting, if that's the reason that you got saved, I hate to tell you, it ain't going to happen. There's going to be stress and trial and problems. There's going to be disease, maybe even death. There's going to be health issues. There's going to be problems. Well, Brother, what do you do about it? You need to know who God is. Let me give you a couple of scriptures here. I'm going to go very quickly tonight. I'm just trying to give an introduction here. At salvation, you were adopted in the family of God, and in this family, we are under His protection. The Bible says in Luke chapter 22, verse number 31, and I'm not going to have you turn to all of these because I'm going to go through them very quickly. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He says, Satan wants to destroy you. When you got saved, Satan wants to destroy you. He says, but I've prayed for you. Listen, if I knew that Jesus Christ was praying for me, I wouldn't be worried about a whole lot. How about you? If you were in a room and there was a crisis going on and you knew right next door in the very next room, Jesus Christ himself was on his knees praying to the Father on your behalf, would you be worried? I wouldn't. That's what he said he's doing. I'm praying for you. He is literally on the right hand of the Father, the Bible says, making intercession for us. That's what he does. We don't need to worry when the troubles come. We're under God's protection. Second thing I want you to notice, actually before we get into that thing, Satan can do nothing to a Christian except what God allows. Okay, we just saw where Job came and asked God, can I have this fella Job? I mean, not Job, Satan. Satan came and asked God, can I have this fellow Job? God said, yes, but don't touch his body. You don't hurt him physically. You can do whatever you want to with his finances and everything else, but leave him alone. Later, he told him you can have his health. But the truth of the matter is, Satan couldn't do a thing to Job without God's permission. Why is that? Over in the book of Romans, Paul tells us that, he says, and I'm going to read this very quickly to you. He says in Romans chapter 8, it says in verse number 34, he says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then he says this, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, he is going to take care of you, and nothing can get to you without his permission. Satan can't hurt you. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He cannot get to you. Satan even acknowledged it in Job chapter 1 and verse number 10. But sometimes, God moves the umbrella and allows Satan in. When those times happen, what do you do? First of all, I want you to notice, I'm going to give you three things, and I'm going to go very quickly through them. Because I know I'm not the only one in this room that has had crisis in their Christian life. Okay? Let me say this. Job did not sin. Job was a righteous man. He was doing good. You know, I've had crisis in my life, and I've had people come to me and say, there must be some sin in your life that you've done something wrong. Job didn't have that. Sin is not always the cause. That is not the reason that it comes. Sometimes God just moves the umbrella. And I'll tell you why in a little bit. It was not that he was an unrighteous or ungodly man. Job was a good, godly man, and God still moved the umbrella. Let me point out something. Look at verse number 10, back in Job. And I want you to look at chapter 1, Job chapter 1. And verse number 10, it says, hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. God puts a hedge about you when you get saved. The word that I want to use here is perimeter. When crisis comes in your life, you need to know that God has set the perimeter. He is not going to allow anything to happen in your life that is beyond his control and beyond what you are able to handle. I was just talking with Brother Wright this morning. Brother Wright and I were talking. My wife is going through some physical issues, and I'm sure that you're well aware that Mrs. Wright is as well. Okay, we have her on our prayer list in Whitehorse. We pray for her. Every week we lift her up in prayer. She is very precious to us, and we love her dearly. The thing that I want to say, though, is he and I were talking, and I said something about, you know, God doesn't allow vessels that can't deal with the issue to have problems. And I said, that's the reason it's our wives and not us. Because I'm a spiritual midget. Okay? I would bail out. But my wife, she's an anchor. She's an anchor. Now, I don't know Mrs. Wright that well. Okay? I know Brother Wright more than I know her. So I'll just use my wife as an illustration. When we got the word that she had diabetes, my wife, she amazed me. She said, praise the Lord. Thank you for the diabetes. And I mean, genuine. She wasn't just trying to be humble. She was genuine about, thank you, Lord, for giving me diabetes. And as it progressed, she's had diabetes for many years now, and as it progressed and she got into insulin, when they told her that she was going to have insulin, my wife said, praise the Lord. Thank you. She says, now I don't have to fight keeping it all balanced with the pills. Now I can just give myself a shot. Now, I don't know about you, but I know a lot of the folks in here are military, but I almost didn't go into the military because I found out you had to get shots. Amen. Getting a needle is not something I want. I've never wanted needles. Needles scare me to death. I hate the idea of needles. That's why I could never have been a drug addict. Amen. I could never stick myself with a needle. And my wife, she sticks herself probably 10, 15 times a day. And she says, thank you, Lord. Man, I'd be mad at God. God, why are you doing this to me? Not my wife. She says, thank you, Lord. You know what? God didn't give it to me. He gave it to her. Because He knew she could handle it. And you know what? It's her testimony that she can handle it. Here's what I'm trying to say. God will never put more on your plate than you're able to bear. If you think you're overloaded, let me tell you, God's already weighed the truck. Now, let me try to explain what I said there, weighed the truck. You are a bridge. And in the front of that bridge, there's a big sign. I don't know, I used to drive a truck. Anybody here in here a truck driver? Okay, you drove truck. And when you've got a truck that's 80, 90, 100,000 pounds or whatever, when you pull up to some of these old bridges, I remember when I was in the Air Force stationed down in Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson, Arizona, we would go out to the missile sites and we would carry an 80,000 pound tube bank that was 80,000 pounds of nitrogen. Nitrogen wasn't heavy, it was the steel that was holding it. 80,000 pounds of it, we would be driving back in these back roads to the missile sites, okay? And some of the back roads that we went into back in that desert, you'd have to go through arroyos and some of the mountain passes and whatnot. And there was some of the bridges that were narrow wooden bridges. And they'd have a sign in front of it. And the sign would say, 82,000 pounds max load. And I would look at that and I'd think, man, I got an 80,000 pound tractor trailer. 82,000 is the max load. So it says it can handle it. And so we would drive out on that bridge. Now what we did, we always went out in pairs. One guy would get out and stand on this side of the bridge and the other guy would drive over just in case the bridge caved in because 80,000 pounds is really pushing the limit. And I would be a lot of times the guy that would be driving. And when you drive over that bridge with that truck, you wouldn't go over it real fast. You would ease up to that thing and you'd put your front wheels on it. And then you'd say, Lord, help. And this is before I was saved. And then you'd go a little bit further and your driver's, the back axles of the truck would go up on the bridge and that would be half of the load of the trailer. And you could hear the bridge. And then you'd ease on out, and as you drove out onto the bridge, you'd hear it creaking. And you'd drive out on the bridge, and then when you get out in the middle of the bridge, you could feel the bridge doing this under you. And you're going, oh man, oh no. And you're driving out across it, and it's a canyon that drops like 500 feet down below you, and you're out on this little wooden bridge, you're at max load, you're driving across the bridge, it's creaking, it's making all kinds of racket, it's moving, and when you finally get off the other side of the bridge, you go, oh, amen, I made it. Okay? I made it across. Let me tell you, Satan is trying to load your bridge up. But God's got a weigh scale right in front of the bridge. He weighs every truck that goes on your bridge. Everything that you have happen in your life, God weighs it and says, this bridge will take it. And He puts the sign up. And if Satan is 1 ounce over, He says, He's not putting that on your bridge. You're not putting it on there. God has a weigh scale in front of your life. And Satan's not going to put anything on you that you're not able to bear. In fact, the Bible tells us that. Over in the book of over in the book of Galatians, I've lost track of where I'm at. Any rate, he tells us that he'll not give you more than you're able to bear. I'll just leave it at that and we'll move on. God is not going to allow your bridge to cave in. He knows exactly what you can take, and He's going to stick there. He's put a perimeter around you. He's put a limit, and Satan cannot get through it, no matter what. So no matter what your crisis is, first thing you need to know is God's allowed it. Second thing you need to know is God has limited it. It's not going to affect you when the long run. When it's all said and done, you're going to come out of it. Job said, naked came I into this world and naked will I go out. He says, I came in naked, I'm leaving naked. I didn't bring anything with me and I'm not taking anything out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me tell you something. No matter what your crisis is, God's got a perimeter around it. He knows what you can take, and He's going to bring you through it. My favorite words in the Bible have become, it came to pass. Amen? I'm getting to the point, those words mean so much to me. It came to pass. Whatever it is, it will pass. I promise you. Preacher in the Sunday school was talking this morning about suicides and things like that. Suicide's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life. Because whatever your crisis is, it will pass. It will pass. You do not have to have an end to it. God's going to see you through it. Especially if you're a Christian. God set a perimeter. Number one, He set the perimeter. When God moves the umbrella of protection, He doesn't abandon you. He just moves the umbrella a little off to the side. We need to remember, it's His children. We are in His hand. John chapter 10, it says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Job lost his donkeys, he lost his oxen, he lost his sheep, his camels, his servants, he lost all of his children. The only servants he had left, he had four servants left, everything else was gone. And he still said, blessed be the name of the Lord. God is in control, I guess is what I'm trying to say. The bottom line solves it with God is in control. Whatever's happening in your life, God's still on the throne. I don't care what the crisis is. God is still on the throne. Second thing I want you to notice. God gave us a promise. When the crisis comes, you can trust the promise of God. See, He set the perimeter, and then He gave us a promise. What was the promise? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, people say, well, God sent Job through all that trouble. No, 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 no. God went with him through that trouble. God didn't leave him alone. When you're going through your crisis, listen, you are closer to God than you've ever been in your life. You just don't realize it. You ever seen the poem, Footprints? It's an old poem. It was written by a Canadian, by the way. Okay? And the Footprints. And this person in the poem talks about the fact that they looked back over their life and they saw the footprints in the sand, and they saw some places where there were only one, and they noticed that when there was just the one footprint, that was when they were having their worst crisis, and they said to God, why is it you bailed out on me when I was in my worst crisis? He said, child, I didn't bail out on you, that's when I carried you. When you're in your crisis, that's when you're closer to God than you ever dreamed you would be. He's taking care of you. You say, well, I can't feel it sometimes. That doesn't mean a thing. He's still there. He's never left you. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will always be there. I will never leave you. I don't care what your crisis is. If you're His child, He's right there holding your hand. He gave you a promise. And boy, let me tell you, if you can trust anything, you can trust the promises of God. You can trust that. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When God moves the umbrella, He doesn't leave you alone. He's with you. God promised that He would never leave thee nor forsake thee, and He will always be there. But sometimes, I need to get my umbrella again. God lets the umbrella move, and there's a purpose for when it moves. Now, I told you about me and my wife that I like to antagonize and irritate her, okay? And I would lean the umbrella away just to antagonize her. And she'd say, put that back! And we have a little spat, not a fight, just a little, you know how you do, a little love spat. And just teasing her. Now, I know every husband in here teases his wife occasionally at some point or time. Amen? Does your husband ever tease you? Never. And you wouldn't lie about it either, would you? Amen. Listen, when I do it with my wife, okay, she sometimes hits me on the shoulder and says, put that back. And we spat. But it's just in fun. But when God moves the umbrella, it's not a joke. When God leans the umbrella, He has a reason for it. You say, what do you mean? God doesn't do anything. The songwriter said, God never moves without purpose or plan. Okay? The Bible teaches us that God has a plan in everything that He does. When He leans that umbrella away and lets the rain fall on Job, there's a purpose for it. Now remember, I told you, it wasn't because of sin in Job's life. Job was a good, godly man. All you got to do is read where he says, "As thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him." So why would God move the umbrella? There's two reasons I want to give you. Two things I want to share with you. I don't want to share. Two things I want to tell you about. Number one, when God moves the umbrella, he moves it away. It was not punishment for Job. It was for Job's strengthening. What do you mean? For Job's strengthening. Sometimes God moves that umbrella away so that you will trust God. It's to strengthen your faith. To know that God's going to see you through it. Let me tell you what happens when you move the umbrella. Come here, bud. Okay? Now we're under the umbrella together. Okay? He's protected. When I move this umbrella away, okay, if he wants to be under the umbrella, what's he going to have to do? Come on. You see, we got real close when I moved that umbrella. Did you notice that? He was over here, and the umbrella was here. When I leaned it away, if he wanted to stay under the umbrella, he had to get closer to me. You can sit down. You know what God does? God moves the umbrella so that you'll get closer to Him. That's His purpose in moving it. When He moves the umbrella, you have to move closer to Him. I don't know how you do when you get into a crisis, but I know what I do. First of all, I get frustrated. Okay? Why is this happening? Okay? I'm human. That's not the godly spiritual thing to do, but I already told you I'm a spiritual midget. Okay? I get upset. I get frustrated with God and I say, God, why is this happening? And then once I settle down and God gets a hold of my heart and my spirit, He says, don't you trust me? I say, yes, Lord, I trust you. Have I ever let you down? No, Lord, you haven't let me down. Then why can't you trust me through this? Okay, Lord. And then I get on my knees and I get closer to God. Do you know what crisis will do for you? It'll get you closer to God. It'll get you crawling on your knees to God. God knows what He's doing. He wants to bring you in closer. The closer you get to Him, the more you're under the umbrella. Listen, you get away from God and you get away from the umbrella of God's protection. I've seen it over and over and over and over with Christians that they get under God's protection. God begins to bless them. Then pretty soon they don't need God anymore and they move out on their own. And then the crisis comes. And when the crisis comes, they go, oh man, what have I done? And they start to come back. And you say, well, that's not biblical, is it? Ask the children of Israel in the wilderness. That's exactly what happened. 40 years they did it. Over and over and over and over. That's the same thing you and I do. We get away from God. God quits the blessings. We come back to God. Sometimes God's just got to prove to us we need to stay close to Him to be under the umbrella of His protection. When the crisis comes, get closer to God. Get back under the umbrella. God's never going to leave you. The umbrella's there. It's just tilted a little bit. He's right there. He's going to see you through it. He has a reason for it. He's drawing you closer. Second thing, not only is He drawing you closer, He is strengthening you in the process. You know, when I was a little kid, I had major crisis in my life. I remember once, I was 8 years old, and I was coming home from school, and I got into an argument with one of the other boys, and we got into a fight. And we were on the school property. And he said that, or one of the other kids said, they were going to go get the principal. And they went to get the principal, and we both stopped and ran. We were scared to death. because the principal had already told us, you know, the whole school, no fighting on school property. We were in serious trouble. And we ran home. But that little boy that told on us told the principal who we were. And that whole night, I was sick to my stomach, because I knew in the morning I was going to have to go to school and face the principal. Oh, my life had ended. It was a major crisis. Everything that was, I got up the next morning and I was faking being sick. I don't know whether it was much faking or not, but I was telling my mom I was too sick to go to school. I couldn't go to school. And my mother was one of those that said, either you're throwing up or you're in the hospital or you go to school. And if you were throwing up, then you didn't have to go to school. But once you got done throwing up, she said, now don't you feel better? You can go to school now. Okay, so I had to go to school. I got up and I got dressed and I didn't even want to eat breakfast. I was absolutely beside. My world had ended because I was going to have to face the principal. I look back on it now and laugh. That was just a child. That's not a major issue. Let me tell you what a major issue is, okay? A major issue is when things come major in your life. Financial, death, things like that. Not having to face a principal. When I was a little kid, I had little problems, and the little problems I thought were major. Now that I'm an adult, I've got bigger problems. And I go, wow, I can't handle these. But I look back at the little ones that I had, and they're simple. I can handle those. What I'm saying is this. Let me use David as an illustration, okay? David, King David, when he was a young man, he had a crisis in his life taking care of the sheep. And a lion came, and God gave him strength to kill the lion. And a bear came, and God gave him strength to kill the bear. And he said, oh, God can handle that. And then later, as he got a little more mature, there was an issue that came up with a giant. And he said, I've trusted God with the bear and the lion. I can surely trust God with a giant. So he was able to defeat the giant. And God gave him strength to handle that. He's got more confidence in God. Later, bigger crisis came. The king told him you had to come up and kill 100 Philistines and bring proof of their death. I'm not going to go into that, okay? But bring proof of their death. And so he brought the proof for more than 100. And God gave him the strength to do that. And he said, wow. God can see me through all these things. Later, when he had real major crisis at the place called Ziklag, where everything was gone, he could look back on past victories and see that God had brought him through it. Okay? Now, let me share with you this about Job. Job lost everything. I don't think that was Job's first trial. What do you think? I think if it had been his first trial, it might have caved him in. But he had been through lots of little trials. And as it came up, he was able to deal with it. He got stronger because of the crisis. God knows what he's doing in your life. And the crisis you're going through now, you think it's major. You think it's a big thing. And I understand that. It's just like me. When I was that child at school, I thought it was a major thing. Now I look back and laugh at how foolish it was. But then it was a major crisis. My life was ending. Now I know that's nothing. In my spiritual life, I've watched God do great things a little at a time, to the point that He's developed my faith a little more. Just like David. David would have never been able to handle Ziklag if he had not fought the lion and the bear and the giant and the Philistines. He grew. What God does is He brings the crisis in your life to make you grow. Anybody here work out with weights? For your workout with weights, what's the objective? You strain the muscle so that next time it's stronger. Isn't that right? Isn't that what you're doing? God strains your spiritual muscle. When God moves the umbrella of protection, He sets a perimeter. He promises He will never leave you, and He has a purpose in what He's doing. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. The crisis is not yours. It's His. He will see you through it. Just trust Him. The bottom line is, God gave you an umbrella. And He promises He will never leave you. When the crisis comes, get closer to Him. The umbrella is still there. The umbrella is still there. God knows.